Thanks for choosing GoldSeek.com. Radio is a trusted business and investing information source. Today's special guest, Kevin Kerr. Kevin Kerr, president of Kerr Trading International Proprietary Trading. Welcome back.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Great to have you back. And, you know, September 30th, this month, the U.S. government evidently runs out of cash. Again, it's making the blogosphere. Will they or won't they shut down the government for an extended time, maybe during the upcoming elections as well?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, listen, I don't feel like pulling out my checkbook and writing them a check right now, although I seem to do that a lot, like we all do. Seems taxes go up, and every time we turn around, they're running out of money. And to be honest with you, I don't really know what we always get for that. But that's kind of a whole other topic for another show. I think that, you know, we see this happen, you know, probably at least every 6 months, where they cry cash poverty, threaten to shut down the government, begin shutting the national parks and certain services, and it becomes inconvenient for consumers in America. And somehow the money is allocated and everything starts to begin. So I think this is not going to really cause any too much kerfuffle. But, you know, we really need to take a long, serious look at the entire economic structure of this country and how we've gotten ourselves into the quagmire of printing more and more money and going deeper into debt. You know, really get a handle. And I wish we had a better choice of candidates. I know it is an election year. And I don't just mean for the presidential candidates, but I mean all our elected officials. Serious players in there to figure out the problems. You know, every 6 months growing deficit that we have, it should be a wake-up call in general for everyone to start what we can really do about it. And that we may not be the best country on the earth right now, and we're certainly deeply in debt.
Ditto in triplicate. The debt issue is just one that doesn't get people elected.
That's for sure.
And we saw what happened to Dr. Ron Paul. I mean, he recognized this decades in advance just against this reckless spending, but it just doesn't put people in office.
And that's the thing, you know, it isn't going to get you elected, and then they will pigeonhole you into sounding like fear monger. If you're talking about the reality, you know, and that's what's so ironic about this entire thing is the people that are speaking the most intelligently, a real grasp on what's going on, are vilified.
Then let's go back in time to 2008. You know, the Dow Jones peaked at 14,000, cut in half nearly. What folks are referring to now is the Great Recession. Here we are facing 18,000 on the Dow.
And look at the NASDAQ go, Chris. I mean, it's, you know, all these markets are just frothy, and it makes me extremely, well, it doesn't make me nervous because I'm well positioned into this, and so are my readers. But the bottom line is everybody should be taking a long look at their portfolio, in my opinion, and looking to unload some, take on some profits and unload some stuff heading into the fourth quarter here. You know, the Fed clearly has its hands tied here. So we kind of take them off the table. I don't see them doing anything the rest of this year now at this point with the numbers we got out last time. If they do, if they feel that a quarter point raise or anything is going to happen in December, I think it would just because they feel forced in that position and then not too much will happen. But at the end of the day, it's not going to make much difference. But I would really be looking to lighten my load in the equities at these levels. I mean, it's just getting extremely lofty, in my opinion, and a lot of jittery nerves, especially with the election, a lot of the uncertainty we have in Europe. I think it's time to take some money off the table or move it into something else and be more diversified. That's my opinion at this point.
Well, we promote a diversification and portfolio approach here. I like your thoughts, and I obviously you can take some profits, but you can also hedge your positions if you feel that, like so many of our guests here, that valuations have gotten out of hand. Things are a bit frothy. Let's move on here. Another question for you, and that's, of course, the yellow metal. And during that five-year bear market, we always had rallies at the beginning of the year, it seemed like, and they fizzled out. Does this rally have teeth?
I do feel that we are looking at a little bit different matrix this year. And, of course, as we head into fourth quarter, we always see a little bit of pop in the metals anyway, just from retail demand. But also, in general, we see more buying in the fourth quarter. We have. I would say that gold has kind of underperformed what I had hoped it would this year, and I'm looking forward to kind of make up some ground here at the end of the year. So I remain fairly bullish on gold. I don't know that we're going to get a huge breakout, but then again, we may. say around November when the election goes down. But I think, we can kind of take the Fed out of the picture for the rest of the year. I think they've played all their cards more or less. I don't know how much upside gold has the rest of the year. I like silver a little better than gold still for the rest of the year. But overall, I think the metals will remain strong and grab some more fortitude as we head into the end of the year. And we'll have to see what 2017 brings.
So in your estimation, you feel that the five-year bear market, even if we don't head back to new highs, the worst might be in the rearview mirror?
I do. I think a lot of the weaker hands we've seen shaken out, and we've seen a lot of consolidation. I think that, you know, the price levels that we got to, I think were a good solid base, and we're kind of, you know, we're backstepping a little bit from that. It's kind of like a little bit of a back and forth motion right now. No real strong surge and no real tumble. It's going to kind of hinge on economic data and on what the Fed does for a while. But I think you're going to see a lot more buying come out of Asia going forward here. And I know we talk about that a lot, but I really do think we'll begin to see that now. And that could really change the game here. So we build a new baseline, probably around this level. And so we'll move to the next tier. Where exactly that tops out and how quickly, I'm not clear on yet. And a large part of that will depend on what we see in the next few months, not only with the elections, but also how everything transitions in Europe. With the Brexit and make sure nobody else is leaving or what's going down there. So a lot of those things are going to have an impact on the fiat currencies, and that, of course, is going to impact gold as well. So, yes, I think we are out of that quagmire that we've all experienced for the last several years, and I think there are some real upside opportunities in the metals now. Of course, there will be periods of time where we do see slight pullbacks, but I don't think anything back to the low levels we saw during this last 5 years.
The Brexit clearly was a key component. You don't see that every day. It, they just had anticipated more of the status quo, but it wasn't to be, and the people spoke.
Well, and Angela Merkel's now experiencing a lot of pushback from her country with this recent referendum they had or this recent vote they had. And so, you know, we could see even more changes coming. It's really an unstable situation. I don't want to put too fine a point on it. I have my own interests in Eastern Europe. So a lot's changing in Europe right now and with the EU. And of course, you know, the UK always kind of had one foot out the door with never changing the sterling to the euro anyway. I mean, it was shocking that this whole thing went down, but I wasn't all that surprised because, in my opinion, they were never all in anyway. One thing probably people are wondering about, what is going on with the energy markets? And of course, I follow those very closely as well as we do all the markets. But the energies have really been interesting. And I would tell your listeners that my opinion is on the energy that we still have a lot of supply. We saw that with the most recent inventory reports. And this oil price is going to be staying probably around this area for quite some time until OPEC and Russia and the rest of them can get together and really make meaningful long-term cuts in production, which I don't really see happening soon. So I am not very bullish on the energies right at the moment, and I think they're worth keeping an eye on, but there may be some downside opportunities as well. But for the most part, it's kind of like a sideline play for the energies right now. There's a lot of volatility and not a lot of upside or downside.
This would seem to imply that you're looking for a slowdown worldwide, maybe in the BRIC nations as well as the U.S. and the EU, for a recession?
I think even if we stay at the level we're at of consumption, you know, unless we see a major dramatic increase in consumption to whittle down that overflow supply that we had when OPEC was pumping full out, we still have so much a glut of oil floating around the world that we'd have to see an increase in demand exponentially and a cut in production. Otherwise, they're never going to get caught up, and the prices probably will stick around this area for some time to come. Now, that might not be forever. I don't think it will be. But I'm not saying I'm bearish on global demand. I think it has to stay at least at this level with a cut in production, or the demand has to increase significantly to whittle through that supply before we see oil, you know, be able to sustain a $65, $70 price. For now, it's trapped in this range.
But I wouldn't be surprised to see a brief moonshot to those levels on a relief rally here. My thinking really stems mostly from the CRB commodities index, which just was so oversold, even if no one had any penchant for or interest in the commodities. It's highly correlated to the CRB.
Although I've been trading oil since 1989, and when I first started trading oil on the trading floor, a normal day's range was like 50 cents. I think the maximum range was a dollar. Okay, and now we see crude move. Sometimes, you know, we've seen it move as much as $10 either side of unchanged in a day. So you know, things, it's a different world we live in today. So easily, we could definitely see if something happens, some kind of disruption or, you know, whatever might be the case. We could easily see crude spike to $60, $65. I agree. I don't think it'd be a sustained price, but we could see crude also the opposite. We could see crude drop down to $25, $30 again, but it wouldn't stay there. So I think we're trapped in that range between like $47 and $55 for now.
To what do you attribute that volatility?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the nature of the markets we're in. You know, when I was a young man in this business, we didn't have the high frequency trading we have today, and we didn't have a lot of the limits that it allowed by, well, in the electronic trading, because of course when I started in this business, there really was no electronic trading per se. It was all done on the floor, and so that's created a whole range of volume that was great. It's great. It's created a lot of volume that we never had before, but it's also created a lot of volatility, wider range that we never had before. So it's a different world. And of course, I trade in this market. I mean, you know, looking back on it, we were thinking about it because of 9/11. We were thinking about it the other day, and I'm thinking, wow, I remember when crude a big day was 50 cents, not, you know, $5. I started in New York in the World Trade Center in the U.S. Dollar Index, working next to people like Paul Tudor Jones, others. Yeah, so Paul was probably about 32 or so, and I was probably about 20. And so I worked next to the New York Cotton Exchange, and I got my first seat on the Cotton Exchange, and the Dollar Index was one of the markets the Cotton Exchange owned. So Orange Juice, Cotton, and Dollar Index used to be right there in the World Trade Center. Of course, all that's gone now. A long time ago. A lot of great memories there. I think one of Paul's funds just went under, I think, or had a lot of redemption. So I don't know. He's doing just fine, though. I think he's got plenty of money. A lot of guys who left the floor, you know, a lot of them, I left in the mid-90s, and I went and traded over-the-counter derivatives, English firm. A lot of people back then, when the floors closed up, you know, they went on to other things because a lot of them couldn't make the transition to trading on the screen. Of course, nowadays, we have almost nobody on the trading floors. There's still some people left in Chicago, but New York has closed their floors, and of course London has some, but it's very, very few people. So it's not even like it used to be at all. So when I was just starting out, there was probably the amount of people that are trading on the floor today were trading on the screen. It was like the opposite, you know, and everybody was on the trading floor. Now nobody's on the trading floor, and everybody trades on the screen.
Why don't you tell folks more about the services you provide or any contact information you'd like to leave today?
Well, sure. Anybody can come learn more about us at kerrcommoditieswatch.com. It's kerrcommoditieswatch.com. You can learn about one of our newsletters there. We trade commodity options with that letter. It's really easy to understand for people just starting out. You don't have to be intimidated. I do everything in plain English, and we try to get people involved in the commodity options. We're a buying service mainly, so it's limited risk. And then we also have a futures letter called Resource Roundtable, which is not just me, but also some top traders that participate in that, recommending futures trades in the markets. And we also look at key resource equities from time to time as well, but primarily we're a futures and options service. We have a contact information there. If you want to join, we certainly can offer you a discount. You can contact us through the website for that. If you're just starting out, we're happy to help. I don't know. We cover all the markets. You know, we didn't get to talk about it today, but the grain markets have been pretty interesting, and soft commodities, we do a lot in those, as well as the energy, and certainly the metals are a huge part of what we do.
Kevin Kerr, we're going to look forward to having you back on the show.
Thanks, Chris, so much.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their RIA project, which is a joint venture with Areva Benefit. benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.